You're not swinging with Big Yawn, no, come back.
They're getting it in the rain. Time to turn the music up and go swing.
Live from the Dash, Swinging with Big Yawn Podcast, Episode 5. We live in full effect. Got a few things I want to talk about. You know what I'm talking about? And you know what time it is, man. I could do this on my own, but I'd rather not. So you know I had to bring in the most dry humorous, the most corniest one alive, my twin brother, X-Biggity Box.
Hi, everybody. I'm back.
What it is, X? What's going on?
I am just chilling like no villain on the couch playing some video games. I was actually pondering if I should just joke and just say I was studying the Bible, which I probably should be doing in the first place, but you know, hey.
Yeah. Sound like a boring ass Friday night for you, but hey, who am I to judge?
Oh man, like,
well, yo, what's going? What's the word, man? You know, we got some things we want to talk about tonight, man. Me and you done had a couple cool conversations about some things. Thought we'd bring it to the big screen. You know what I'm talking about? So, man, what we was talking about with work, entrepreneurship versus work. You know what I'm talking about?
Entrepreneurship versus work. Oh man, I have a lot to say about this, but I don't wanna rant. So I'm gonna avoid ranting. So I'm gonna try to like keep my points, you know, as brief as possible, if that's possible. So when it comes to like entrepreneurship, I really feel like, you know, it's only trendy because the internet exists. That's my whole theory. Like when nobody, because the barrier of entry has just been almost eliminated because the internet just makes this widespread access to everybody that has no business being entrepreneurs, you know, then they're able to, you know, kind of explore, which is good, I guess. You know, it gives everybody opportunity, but, you know, some people are meant to play a supporting role. Everybody's not meant to be, you know, a chef in the kitchen. Somebody needs to be the supporting, like, you know, needs to be delivering the food and making sure people are getting the food in a happy space, man. You know what I'm saying? I think Dame Dash, when he did that Breakfast Club interview, he was like, having a boss is like having a daddy. I can see what he was talking about from people, you having to like kind of answer to somebody, but no, I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that at all, man.
I kind of do, because if you don't answer to them, your livelihood is at stake. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that is like having a daddy. I can see where he was coming from with that, because your livelihood is at stake if you don't listen to them. You know, they get to tell you what to do. If you don't do it, you get in trouble. Doesn't that sound like the ideology of a parent?
That's one side, man. You know, that's one side, you know. Because if everybody's their own boss, you know what I'm saying, then who we actually have to play these supporting roles? You know, that's what I used to think about being a network marketer. If everybody's so tired of their jobs, they're stressed out, they're depressed, become a network marketer and be this, you know, and live the life that you want and dream. So who's gonna be the doctor if everybody's sitting up here selling Herbalife and other products like that, Amway products? There's no doctors because everybody just was tired of working. They just wanted to live for themselves. Like, where are the trash men at? Where are the, you know, people that need that these things need functions to? Who's going to do those things?
I can agree. You know, I can agree. Like, the thing is, like with entrepreneurs, like, we all want to be one, because sometimes in our mind, and you might be right, it might be partially because of social media, because people can make it look good, and it's not working in their favor at all. Mm-hmm. But in their mind, you know, when we're an entrepreneur, you know, you think like, shoot, I can get in and get a quick buck. And that's what kind of drives me, because some people ain't really in it to win it. They just in it for a quick dollar at the moment. And it messes up. It oversaturates a market sometimes, and it messes up, you know, the people that are working hard to build. It messes up their flow. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right. You know what I mean? So here's my thing. So, for example, let me talk about me, because I can't really speak for anybody else. I can look at people and just tell, like, should you really be trying to, like, sell something right now? If you don't understand, so I have a whole product line on this website called Teachers Pay Teachers. It's Marketplace, and it's called Last Minute Lessons Reading and Audio Series. And I knew an audience for that I could serve, but it took, like, for me to actually develop a product for that website, it actually took me, I got an account for that website in 2014, and it wasn't until like 2017, 3 years later, that I actually had an idea on how to sell it. And it's because it took some research and actually took an experience for me to see, like, oh, okay, there's an underserved market for providing an audio supplement for students who have a hard time reading. Because, you know, our kids now, they don't like to read, and some of them are dyslexic or they have special needs in terms of their learning. And in the school system, at least here in Texas, that's called modifications. And I can't remember accommodations, that's what it is. And with those modifications or accommodations, they may need an audio supplement to their work. So what I would do, I would, like, instead of reading it out loud to the students, I would actually sit up here, come home, record my voice reading the story once and play it. Because I taught middle school, so that's like 8 times I would have to read this story over and over again. I did that one day and my vocals were just exhausted, so I just, you know, did it all once here at home, recorded in my little, you know, homemade studio that I made, and I just let it play on the computer, and kids read while they were listening to the audio. Or those who needed the audio supplement got to put on headphones and then listen to the story as they were reading along, so they're not distracting the kids that don't have those reading problems. So I took those audio pieces for those stories that I made, and I just started selling them. And I took audios based on public domain stories where I could, you know, make it commercial, use it for traffic for commercial use, and make a profit off of that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not the best, you know, the product is good. I've got some good feedback from teachers, resource teachers, but the marketing is what I'm actually, like, missing, you know? So I try to market it, and I'm really lazy when it comes to marketing. So am I really the entrepreneur? I saw a need. I created a product. You know, I feel that I got some good lifetime sales off of it, but I don't consider myself an entrepreneur at all, by no stretch of the imagination.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Do you see where I had to break down that whole story and just saying, like, okay, because you see, it was a process to it. It was like steps. Like, I, you know, it took some research and development. I saw an audience that needed this. There was a need for this. I bundled it up as a product. I sold it. That's pretty much, that was the process. That was the journey right there in a nutshell.
Right, right, right. And the thing about it, like, with entrepreneurship, it's so risky, and it's so much risk for success and failure involved, that a lot of people ain't built for that. A lot of people ain't built to handle them failures. Would you, just from your experience so far with me on my and chasing my dreams, and what you know me on my road for entrepreneurship, would you say that I'm handling it well with risk and failures and stuff, seeing as you know that I've had a lot of failures recently?
Well, I think you can, I think personally, you can afford to take some failures, because we're in different scenarios. Because one, you don't have any children. You have, like, we provide you nieces and nephews because of provide those stories. So I think you're at a perfect place to like risk. But to answer your question directly, I want to add that context. Let's see, you have your photo business that, you know, you've been doing pretty decent on right now. You know, you've been posting content with Grambition. But see, if you're creating content online, I don't really consider you an entrepreneur. You're just a content creator.
Right.
You know, so it's like there's a lot of people on YouTube. They're like labeling themselves entrepreneurs because they're making YouTube videos.
Right.
But I'm like, you mentioned a link in a description of a video. Here, click the link so you can get this product. And you're on this self-proclaimed entrepreneur. Okay, here's the thing. Like, that's just simply just doing business. Those are simple business transactions. An entrepreneur to me is like, you know, the old black man that like owns this store, you know, has to pay for. Let me say it like this. The old black man that, you know, that's in the like lower, that's in a hood, you know, even with the little corner store or something like that, has to deal with, you know, profit margins, has to have employees, has to, you know, take care of somebody else, has to put his own needs second and make sure that he can provide opportunities for other people. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And most people will argue with me saying that, well, aren't you doing that, you know, providing a product or service? And they're like, no, I mean, you're providing a product or service is a one-time thing, because once that agreement, that transaction is done, you don't have to deal with that person. But if you're employing somebody, you're trying to put them on and get them an opportunity to gain skills, that sort of thing, that's
right.
different.
Right. And the thing about it is, like, I am a content creator. I am an entrepreneur because I'm building a media empire from the ground up. Now, am I seeing major money from it? Not yet. But it's going to happen, you know, because photography is part of that media empire. You know what I'm saying? And that's been my dream for the longest. And, you know, it's going to work out in my favor. But if now I'm chasing the entrepreneurship now as an employee, I didn't suck. I was a damn good employee at whatever job I worked at. But at the same time, that shit just wasn't for me. You know, I'm one of those that I couldn't take, you know, because here's the thing. You be at these jobs and you be having these bosses and shit, and you be knowing stuff about these bosses and stuff like that. And you like, why I'm taking directions and orders from you and shit, and you outside of this job, you trash. You know what I'm saying? Like why am I listening to you? Like, you know, so now I gotta risk my livelihood because I don't wanna respect the fact that you the boss over me, you know what I'm saying? Because I know outside of this you not a real boss. You know, you just got in and either, you know, worked your way up, hustled your way up, finessed your way up, however you got into that position, you got there. And now, because a lot of times with jobs, these bosses hold you back. They hold you back from moving on up because they see the potential in you, you know, and they'll hold you back from getting in position to be a boss too, or be the boss over them. You know, so like, that's why so far this entrepreneur journey for me has been real fucking fun, even though I'm taking losses and stuff, because I have my peace of mind. It's a hard worker somewhere that's employed, getting paid decent money, and that is stressing because they don't enjoy their job or the people around their job, versus me, who is just as happy and stress free being an entrepreneur. Even when I take my losses, I ain't stressing like a worker who making $22 an hour or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. I get that. You know, I completely understand that. You know what I'm saying? But, I agree with you, you know, in that degree. Because while I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about also, too, like, you know, because if you're working for somebody, too, you have to be aware that, you know, this could all be going away like the next day. You know, that's how I kind of work. You know what I'm saying? So I'm either doing one or two things. I'm saving money, or I'm trying to figure out, you know, what skills do I need to invest in, you know, for the next big move, and what do I need to start having backing up? What systems can I put in place right now to generate income, whether it be making some investments in, you know, a company or something like that, or Vlad stocks.
Yeah. Vlad stocks. Yeah. Vlad stocks.
Yeah. You know, that's it. For those who watch Vlad TV, they don't know what I'm talking about.
Vlad stocks is pretty interesting, too.
No, say that. I'm sorry.
Vlad Stocks is pretty interesting. Like, he gives some real player tips.
Yeah, he does.
About stock investing. He really does. And, you know, even with that, you know, stock investing is a hit and miss. And it's a good opportunity that you get that hit. And you might, you know, you might roll into the right stock to get the bread. But we'll say that stock conversation. Well, another time, because I've been fucking with Robinhood for the last 2 years now, and I'm learning so much. So I want to give some of that game to the people too. But and back to entrepreneurship, you got to think about it, X. Like, man, like, think about this, man. Like, one difference between entrepreneurs and workers and stuff like that. Entrepreneurs get excited to the utmost about risk. Like, they thrive on risk. You know what I'm saying? Like, they thrive on that shit. Like, we know it's going to be a risk, but we going to take it anyway. Because this risk could lead to, I took a risk spending $1,000 on my camera equipment, right? I took a risk. I didn't know if I was going to have one client. Matter of fact, remember, I bought the camera in 2017, and I didn't do my first photo shoot till May 2018. I bought the camera September 2017 and didn't do my first official photo shoot till May 2018 because I knew the basis of the camera, but I didn't know how to use it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know my manual settings and stuff. This is all stuff that I've learned over time now to make me as good as I am now, but I took the risk. I knew it was a risk. It was a chance that I would not make my $1,000 back from buying that camera equipment and stuff. I knew that, but I took that chance. Now, you take somebody who's working for somebody, they wouldn't have took that risk. They wouldn't have took that risk. They would have kept their day job because they are scared of risk. A lot of workers are scared of risk. They're scared to fail and lose their day job. You know what I'm saying? Their day job is their livelihood security. You know what I'm talking about?
I agree with that.
It's the thing, man. And you know that saying, man, without risk there's no reward. You know what I'm saying? You know these type of sayings, man.
Well, the hardest, like, hardships, man, garner the biggest, like, rewards. The bigger the challenge and problem that you solve, the bigger the reward. I seen that personally. Like, all the time, you know. So, for example, I'll just use this code example. So, right now, learning HTML and CSS has been kind of a safe thing. Now I'm trying to learn some bigger, hardcore coding challenges, such as learning how to solve JavaScript problems at my current job, having to deal with email clients and everything else. Stuff I don't even like dealing with, but now I have to learn it. Because, you know, my current job is calling for it, but I know that if I persevere and I push through and I get over myself and I learn those skills and I just try to focus on how to solve the problem, despite how uncomfortable it is, I know the reward is going to be greater because I'll be able to carry those skills into the next thing that I do, whether it's employment or doing it for somebody else later, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's it. But you know what, one thing I want to add to what you're talking about also, I work with a sense of urgency, because in 2013 I lost my first teaching job. You know, I was asked to resign. I won't even go into details in terms of what happened with that, but that planted a seed in me. It impregnated with me an idea that I always have to have a sense of urgency. Like, you know, I can be let go at any moment. I'm even reminded of that at my current job right now. Because if you're not performing, you're not contributing to the bottom line, they don't have any problem with cutting you short. You know, so now I work hard, and even when I come home, I'm thinking about, all right, let me put these graphic design skills to use. Let me create some funny T-shirts. Let me write down these ideas and have something on backup, you know, as generating some more income. So if things hit the fan, I'd have this to fall back on. And I got these new skills, too, that I gained while working at this job. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I look at it as an RPG video game. You know, you just go through the work, fighting the challenge boss, monster, if you want to call them that, and, you know, see what type of experience you gain and carry it on to the next bigger challenge, man. That's how I look at it.
Right. Right.
But I think it's foolish if somebody just, you know, if they're just working a job and they're just, you know, thinking that there's a such thing as job security when there's not. There's skill security. There's high income skills you can start developing right now, you know what I'm saying, to keep yourself, you know, floating above and living a beyond comfortable lifestyle. If you there was a Dr. Umar Johnson interview where he talked about, it was on a Breakfast Club, and he talked about the black families back then being told that they need to go to school and get these liberal arts degrees. And I'm guilty. I have a liberal arts degree, but I'm not ashamed of the liberal arts degree I got because I wanted to be a writer. Writing can be a high income skill depending on what sector of writing you go into. That's neither here nor there. But anyway, he talks about, you know, black families being convinced to going to college, beginning in academia, and then those aren't really practical skills that they can actually make a living off of. You know, skills that you can make a living off of is things that you can do with your hands, such as plumbing, welding, but something mechanical based. You know, and now in this day and time, you have to be able to transfer mental through your hands, and that's with like technology skills, things you don't have to go to college for, like coding is. Coding is a high income skill that you can learn. You can self teach yourself if you have the mental patience and you can wrap your mind around it.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
You can, it's a skill that you can take with you forever.
Man, for real. And that's the thing, man. Like, they fool you so hard with these college degrees and stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. Had the greatest times of my life in college and stuff. Wouldn't change it for the world. And I got a bunch of degrees and stuff, man. But honestly, outside of my undergrad degree, I'm probably not ever going to use those other degrees ever in life. You know what I'm saying? Now, especially not at this point going into my 40s. You know what I'm talking about? But it's funny because that you mentioned that about the Breakfast Club interview with Umar. That was very interesting. I remember it vividly. And on Nick Cannon's most recent interview with DJ Vlad that he's doing, he talked about this in like two segments so far, where a lot of people don't have the hustle mentality. A lot of people really want to just work 9 to 5s and die. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really do it. And you see it. I see it all the time amongst our peers and stuff like that. Like, a lot of my peers and close friends and stuff frown down on me because, you know what I'm saying, I didn't follow that. Hell, even you sometimes. We didn't have these arguments and conversations because I didn't follow that. I didn't follow that that narrative of go to school and get a job, work 30 years and then retire and just get your pension and all that together. I'm thinking so fucking big that like at any minute now, the shit that I got going is gonna hit big, and the payout is gonna be much better than any salary or anything that I could receive and stuff. It's a reason. I believe it's a reason why. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been able to get jobs and shit around here, man, because that ain't in God's plan. But my vision is much bigger than that narrative of go to school and find you a job and work till you die. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw a meme one time on social media, and it said it broke down the numbers. Like, you go to school for, what is it, 12 years of your life, K-12. So once you hit 5, you go to school for your first 12 years. And then if you decide to go to college, you go to school for another 4 years. That's 16 years. And then if you decide to get your master's, that's another two. That's 18 years of your life that you spent in school alone. That's 20. Now you 23 years old. You get a job and they tell you to work 30 years or you start getting your retirement and your Social Security when you're 72 or something like it was something of that nature. Well, the average life span of people is 70, you know, according to statistics and stuff. Think about that. The average lifespan of people is 70. So now you didn't work till you became 70 only to live maybe 2-3 more years and enjoy free time and money. You know what I'm saying? Like that meme made a lot of sense, man. Like the way they drew it up, it's ridiculous because a lot of that bullshit they teaching you in school, you don't even need it, man. At most, you probably only need 8 years total of schooling. And that's including teaching you your ABCs and all that shit. Cause you know they teaching you this bullshit ass chemistry and algebra and shit. I still don't think I've ever used or came across a situation where I had to do XYZ over X plus 2 squared times 10 equals ABC minus D and all that shit. I don't even think I had to use that, but we had to do that shit in school. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
it's like
right.
A lot of college is definitely a hustle. Because technically, you only need 2 years of college, and that's just the 2 years that you in your junior and senior year where you actually in your major. What am I going to college taking history for, and I'm not even a history major? Like, what am I taking 2 or 3 histories for? What am I taking 2 or 3 biologies for?
Well, you know, the general idea to that is to, well, that's the key word, to generalize, because if you're in school, they want you to have some sort of general foundation, understand of like some of those things, even if you're not going to encounter them somewhere in your life. But I get like the way that you're talking about it right now, like I get it because there's a sense of urgency. Like, just tell me the practical things that I actually need right now. Just please, because I don't have a lot of time to waste sitting up here taking Texas history in college when I'm not going to be living in Texas. I care a little about Texas right now. Just tell me what I need to know, that one thing that I could focus on so I can just go ahead and put all my energy into that. I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast. He was talking about Dave Chappelle and how Dave Chappelle just... Dude, it was actually talking about people. He had a guest and it was just talking about people in general who know the one thing that they should be doing in life and they just focus on that. Like, they just know. They already know their life's path and they just focus on that. Dave Chappelle just wanted to do comedy, stand-up comedy. You know, all the other stuff was extensions even from the Chappelle show skits that he used to have. You know, but he focused on that one thing and that was... And he just got good at that, you know. And that was just become the greatest... best comedian they possibly could. And I think that's the approach that everybody wants to take. They're tired of going every which way, trying doing all this other stuff that doesn't pertain to the most relevant things that they should be doing. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the sentiment when it comes to, you know, why am I taking all these classes in college? I should be just doing the most essential things, just the one thing that's going propel me to the next level and where I want to go, where I feel like my purpose is taking me right now. And for me, that's where the good Lord is like having me go at this moment in time. So,
right,
so I feel you. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, it's pros and cons to being an entrepreneur. It's pros and cons to working. But for a lot of people, I really believe that, you know, entrepreneur is the way to go, man, especially once you get the ball rolling. Like you said, man, you took a side hustle that you picked out in 2014 and didn't get it popping to 2017. That's just the nature of the beast. And that's fine. Yeah. If you on your hustle, it's going to eventually come. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's going to eventually come, dog. Like think about this. In two years in since I've had my camera, I've already built some clientele that's regulars. I got some that are one and done. I got some that are inquirers, some that just hit me up and inquired about my photography, you know. But that's in 2 years worth of hustle, you know what I'm talking about? So eventually it's going to come a time, and it's going to happen soon, where I'm overbooked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm overbooked. I got to turn down bookings and stuff. I got to stop shooting on the weekends and stuff because my weekends is getting taken up. All that's going to come down. I'm going to have 4-5 shoots a day. You know what I'm saying? Big shoots, events, all that. That stuff is slowly coming in, but it's coming. Now, if I was working a job right now, I wouldn't have that focus on photography like I got it now. I would literally think of photography as a side hustle. Like, okay, I get off at 5 every day. Maybe I can shoot a couple photo shoots from 5:30 to 8 and shut it down and have my evening to myself. Or on the weekend, shoot 3 or 4, make a little extra money to spend for food and shit. Nah, man, I like this. I like the entrepreneur hustle because that entrepreneurship allows that working for people and working for companies and stuff don't allow, and that's time. You know what I'm saying? When you're an entrepreneur, you create your own schedules. You make your own times. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you are a business-minded professional entrepreneur, you literally make your time around your business. But if you're a bullshit entrepreneur, you do what most bullshit entrepreneurs do that have businesses and stuff, and they circle their business around everything else. Like you go to a lot of, and it's one thing about black-owned businesses. I know it's probably some other. I'm just talking about black-owned because this is my experience with it. A lot of black-owned businesses that I see, you want to fuck with them, you know what I'm saying? But they not professional. And you know me personally, man. You and a couple other people know I hate the word professional. I hate it because I feel like it's some bullshit word created to, you know what I'm saying, for us to act a certain way and shit like that. But in this sense, it is necessary to say because you'll have these businesses, right? And let's just say, Minji, you own a restaurant. And now I'm using the restaurant because this is main things that most time we go after to start our businesses and stuff. And on your restaurant, you say your hours are from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Where you like, cool, I'm a fool with such and such today because I know they restaurant open at 9 and I'm hungry for breakfast. Now, boom, you like, okay, I'm a support. I'm finna go spend money. But you get to their business at 9 and it ain't even open. You know what I'm saying? It's not even open.
Oh, wait. You know what's worse? Like, oh, it's Labor Day. We're going to be closed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Man, like, you get to these places and they don't be open. They operating hours is just there for show. They ain't operating. They say 9, but they might not open till lunch. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, damn, you know, your hours say this and this. What's up? And that go with anything. It go with even, I think me and you had this argument, like, sometimes you like, You when you do your services for people and stuff, you telling them one thing, but you operate on your own time according to what you and your what you might want to do with your family and stuff like that. Man, you done had arguments like that before. Like, if I paid you my money for a service, then you can't put my stuff on the back burner because you might want to have a movie night. You know what I'm saying? Or you might want to go to dinner. Dog, what you got a business for? Your business supposed to come before everything. If you about your money and your success. Now, if you about just saying you got a business to have it and you want to put all that stuff in front of it, so be it. But don't expect people to be in the mix with you and support you and you half-assing your own business.
Right. Well. Okay. So everything that you're stating is a real entrepreneur because you know because I've been in that boat like way too many times in terms of the like the BS.
You have.
I'm just not gonna do that right now. I'm just not. And then that lets me know that you know, man. I don't like this. You know, whole putting my business before everything else, before like game time and family time, and maybe I do just like the aspect of okay, this set amount of time a day I commit to this job. When that's done, I can just not think about it. I can be at home and do whatever I want. Yeah. Like, look, you know, I don't actually like thinking about a whole business every single like day or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? And But okay, and then it's weird because I'm telling you this, I don't like it, but my actions actually would show that I was literally sit up late at night working on, like, if I have a great idea, I would just work on it like an insane person, like a mad scientist or something. If it's a good idea or if it's like, man, this is a dope thing. Like, if you ask me to, you know, do something for you and if the idea comes, I would stay up all night just to get that done because the idea itself is just... like, I can see this into fruition. That's what happened with the Grambition logo.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to work on this as long as it takes because I see it. I'm going to make this happen.
Right, right, right. And you came out with a hell of a logo, but that's what I'm saying. You got to be committed. You got to be committed. If that's going to be your business, you got to be committed to a 110%. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they'll tell you, I could have a date set up. I'm talking about a whole date for the weekend, like Saturday night. Yeah, I'm going to go out with a chick. 6 o'clock, boom, we going to go eat dinner or something. You know what I'm saying? If somebody tap me up Saturday at about 4:30 and say, hey, I need a photo shoot for 6 p.m., guess what? That date going to wait. I'm going to get the bread. And that's me every time for every situation. I'm going to get the money. I don't care if I got a trip planned out of town. If somebody want, if it could be, it could be one booking, I don't care. If I'm going out of town to spend money, but I can stay here and make some, I'm getting the bread. I don't care. That's just me though. But everybody ain't built like that. You know what I'm saying? On my Facebook, my photography Facebook page, my operating hours, I think, say 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. I mean that. If somebody want to do a photo shoot at 7 a.m., I'm up anyway. Let's get it done. You know what I'm saying? I had a couple early morning shoots. People already know at this point that they don't even have to check to see if I'm gonna be available. Just make your deposit and set your time, and whatever your time is, we doing it. Hell, I'll get up at 3 a.m. if somebody want to shoot. If somebody call, I always joke about this with my partners and stuff. If somebody call me at 2:30 after they done left the club drunk, hey man, come take some pictures of me and my clique. I'm gonna pay. Now I'm getting out the bed and going to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't care because I'm going to build this and I'm going to make this thing successful. So, but everybody ain't built like that. You know what I'm talking about?
No, and that's you know what? And that's the thing, man, is like a lot of people don't think that's not fine, but really it kind of is. Like, because like you said, some people are built for it, some of them not, man. You know, I thought I was, but really what I'm built for is like the creative aspect. Like, you know, if I have a good idea or I see something that's like, you know, dope or a problem that I want to solve and I really want to solve it, that's what I'm actually going to commit to. The actual, you know, business practices and that sort of thing, man. Like, no. Like, there's a role that I need to play. Like, for example, like, you're better in front of the camera than I am. I'm only in front of the camera. Like, being a YouTuber and all that other stuff, one, because I like to create and I like to put things together, but I only do it it's a necessary step. It's a necessity. It's a skill. That's how I look at it. It's another skill that I can add to my arsenal. Like, oh, okay, now I know how to actually get my point across, and I know how to get to the point a little bit better than what I did the last time I spoke.
Right.
Even as we're talking, even as we're doing this podcast right now, I'm very conscious in reducing the amount of times that I'm saying and liking those repeating gestures. So I'm trying to really think about what I want to say and just stick to the topic. Am I always successful at that? Obviously not, because y'all keep reminding me you're off subject. But for the most part, where I see I'm actually making the improvements is that I'm speaking with a little bit more conviction and clarity each and every time. And I think that's the part that I enjoy. Like, I enjoy that process. But do I want to sit up here and be beholden to a client calling me and like, hey, the website is down. Like, ugh, can you fix it? And I don't have any money to pay you, but you should just be doing this anyway. And no, man, like, no. You know, that's my fault because I allowed it. You know, as a web designer, I just allowed that, and I didn't really know how to actually do the business side. I just wanted to build websites. And it's kind of the same thing in terms of like, man, I don't want to, man, forget that business side. I just want to rap. And then you find out that, you know, you're broke. Like, man, how come I'm only getting like, you know, 0.005% of the royalties, and my mixing engineer is getting more money than me? you know, and that's just what it is, man. It's just not paying attention to the business side because you just want to stick to the creative side. I'm very much so guilty of that, but that's just, you know, that is what it is. And that's why I play like support to you a lot of the times, because that's just a better role that I just in. I don't mind that at all. I think actually that's where, that's how me and you were even successful when we even team up and doing some things, just understanding our roles.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to try to like stand up here and steal a line, like, you know, from you, because I play better in support right now. So that's just what it is.
Right. And I can agree to that, you know. And like I say, I don't want it to come off as a knock for people who want to work and stuff. That's fine. Work their jobs and shit. That's cool and stuff. Mm-hmm. But sometimes those people can look down on somebody who's chasing the entrepreneur dreams and stuff, because they feel like they're already established and we out here trying to get to where they are. But in actuality, sometimes we way farther ahead than they think and way far ahead than them. You know what I'm saying? Because what happens is, let's just say you making $70,000 a year, right, X? Right. And you looking like, oh shit, you don't might make $600-$700 a month for some fucking pictures. And that's fine. In 4-5 months from now, let's say that a media company wants to pick up my photography deal. I signed a multi offer, you know, of some money. Let's just say that I signed $100,000 for a signing bonus or something for that deal or whatever. Now, you got to work the next, it's just January, so you got to work the next 11 months to get your $70,000 while I got $100,000 in my pocket, all because I chased the entrepreneur dream.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the reward. The reward is way greater versus working for somebody making $70,000 and you don't have no free time. You spending all your money on bills and stuff, and it's a routine for you.
Right. No, and that's no way to live either. You know, I think about that too. Like, this can't be life. Quoting Jay-Z, this can't be life. Like, this can't be life if you're just sitting up here all day long. You know, you're just working, coming home, eating, going to bed, working, coming home, eating, going to bed. Like, that, I oftentimes just look at that routine and it's kind of depressing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, it's just really depressing in that regard, man.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. It is. It's very depressing.
So people have to take extra steps. And I just made another video talking about you giving up your spare time for a greater cause. If you want to have the success that you're looking for, and whatever, however you define success, you know, you're going to have to give up your free time in order to achieve that. That's just, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, so depending on what, if you really just want it bad enough, that's just the reality. You know what I'm saying? So
That's facts. But like,
so, yeah, man.
Some people don't want it. They don't want it hard enough like that. You know what I'm saying? Some people are really content with literally working for somebody else. It's less hassle on them. They don't have to deal with the stuff that the entrepreneur or the company has to, because the person who owns the company was an entrepreneur because they made a risky decision to start that business that you working for.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So that is true. That is very true. But that's just what it is, man. We're gonna continue to encourage everybody, man. Whatever works for you, do it. Just don't look down at other people for doing what they choose to do, whether it's work the 9-to-5 or be an entrepreneur. Everybody's vision not the same, you know?
Yeah. It's not, man. You know, and whatever anybody's trying to do, what's the word that I'm looking for? Whatever you're trying to do, you have to kind of measure, first off, define what success is for you. This is just advice. This isn't gospel.
Right.
So You know what I'm saying? Dude, you have to first define what success is for you. And then you have to ask yourself, are you willing to commit to this? And I think, you know what, if there's one thing anybody could take away from this talk tonight is commitment. Because I think that's the one key thing that separates people who BS entrepreneurship and those who are really, you know, committed, who are really serious about it.
Right, right.
Who really want to actually achieve what they want. You know, figuring out their business model. And actually, I'm figuring out too, man, because entrepreneurship isn't about just having an internet product and selling it online. You know, it's about, okay, how will this, you know, service or product solve a greater need? Would I be able to employ people? Would I be responsible for somebody else's life? You know, how much of an impact am I going to make? You know, because a lot of people, man, you hear a lot of people, you know, and like I said, I'm big on YouTube. You just hear them talk about how comfortable they are with the lifestyle that they're living, you know what I'm saying? But is this legitimately some people that are helping other people? Like, I know some YouTubers I do watch that, and especially in the web design development space, they've actually taken their skills and they've used it to create courses, create, you know, forums, communities, to be able to help people and to put them on in terms of them getting their coding skills up. So, and that to me is a perfect example of what real entrepreneurship is. You know, putting other people on and making sure everybody else is taken care of and just being involved with the community. Now, outside of them being on YouTube, they're probably spending even more time like constantly talking to those people and facilitating that community they created. They may be doing that all day long and stuff, and that's something else that you have to ask yourself. Are you willing to just commit yourself to that level, to right, where that it's just taking up all of your time, all the time?
Right, right,
you know
right.
What I'm saying, so.
No, I can agree. I can agree. Some people ain't committed like that. Now, you know what I'm saying. Some people won't use all their time dedicated. The ones that do though are the ones that 9 times out of 10 been successful. As we wrap this thing up, I'm going to tell you a couple people that you need to look at from my experience that I kind of idolize. And it's going to be funny when I drop these names, because I really do. I look up to, I won't say look up to, because I respect what Gary Vaynerchuk has taught me. Because Gary Vaynerchuk has said he's my ideal guy of how I want to be, man. He walks around cursing freely as fuck, not giving a damn what nobody thinks, and he gives you some pointers just straight the fuck up in your face like that. And I say it like that because that's how he literally is. Do you fool with Gary Vaynerchuk?
Yes, yes. I love his content.
Yeah, yeah. See, I advise people to go check him out if you haven't. You know, he's turned himself. Think about it, man. This guy at 33, 34 years old, he tell his story all the time. He was still working in his parents' wine store, selling wines and stuff like that. And now he owns a big media empire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he owns a big media empire, man. So he's one. Another one is Grant Cardone. You know who Grant Cardone is?
Yep, I know who Grant Cardone is.
He's another one. Another one is in your face with it, man. Like, yep. like they raw. These guys is raw, man. And you know the fact that they white, you know, it makes you wonder, like, damn, we really don't do enough as our own people, because they really don't give a damn and they making money. We could be that same way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, last, and I'll leave it at this, because I literally have read this book like 20 times. But and you probably laugh when I drop this name, but Pimpin' Ken.
Oh, man. Pimpology. I heard some stuff about, you know,
Pimpology, the 48 Laws of Game.
I think so, yeah.
It's really just like the employee game, you know, the workers game. The boss is the pimp and you the prostitute. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, wow,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's really like, and I've read that book so many times, like, I literally, that's the approach that I take to a lot of situations, a lot of stuff, like, purse first, ass last. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I want the money first before you get my ass, you know what I'm saying? Like, purse first, ass last. You know what I'm saying? Wow. I'm going after the money before I get in it, but you know what I'm saying?
Okay. I've heard of Pimping Kid. I didn't even know he had a book out.
48, Pimpology, man. The 48 Laws of Game. And he got another book out called it's something about chess. And I got the book somewhere, but I haven't read that one yet. It's so far down my reading list. Oh yeah, The Art of Human Chess. That's the name of it.
The Art of Human Chess.
The Art of Human Chess. A Study Guide to Winning. That's what it is. Yep. And Pimpology, The 48 Laws of Game, man. I'm telling you, man, Pimp a Ken. But yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna have to keep that in mind then, man.
Yep. But X, man, I appreciate you tuning in, man. It's late Friday night, man. You know what I'm talking about? I appreciate you checking in with me, running it real quick. You know what it is, man. This way you plug yourself in, man. What you got?
Man, as always, man, nothing different right now. Continue to find me on YouTube, LinkedIn. I don't think I plug myself in LinkedIn. At Deshaun L. Johnson. Find me on YouTube, DLJ Works, Deshaun Johnson. Is God or against me? And you can find me on those channels right there, man. Like I said, don't look for me anywhere else because I'm not that active. So you can try Twitter, but just catch me on YouTube.
All right. Well, that's what it is, man. That's where we at with it. So, X, you take it easy, man. Kiss the babies for me, man. And we'll be doing this again soon, man. I look forward to our next conversation, man. Love you, bro. All
right. Love you, too. I'll talk to you in a bit, dog. All
right. Peace, love, and happiness. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, definitely.
All
right, man.
All right. Bye. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Episode 5 done and in the books. You know what I'm talking about. Appreciate y'all tuning in, man. Hope everybody have a peaceful night and positive dreams and good sleep. You know what I'm talking about. Check me out on IG, big_young. Go follow my Swinging with Big Young page on Facebook, you know what I'm talking about. Go check me out on Twitter, big_young, and we can make some things happen, man. Let's link up, let's do some things, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? I'ma holler at y'all, man. Swinging with Big Young, live from the Dash. It's Swinging with Big Young podcast. Know what I'm talking about?
Up the deuce, man, hold up. And I'll be damned if we don't roll phones on break their tone. Damn if we don't roll phones on break their tone. I'll be damned if we don't roll phones on break their tone. Damn if we don't roll phones on break their tone. I'll be damned if we don't roll phones on break their tone. Damn if we don't roll phones on break their tone. I'll be damned if we don't roll phones on break their tone. Walk with a fat pack, cause I be the one that's always choked. And I be damned if we don't roll foes, hoes break their toes. Walk with a fat pack, cause I be the one that's always choked. Blown on big killer smoke, coming all up by my nose. Coming down real slow, I got these niggas following how my phone. And I be damned if we don't roll foes, hoes break their toes. Walk with a fat pack, cause I be the one that's always choked. Blown on big killer smoke, coming all up by my nose. Coming down real slow, I got these niggas following how my phone. Pedals, niggas catch the footprints on the freestyle. Man, I'm the fat pad, I do this shit fast as a nigga can. A million miles of running, smoking killer like I'm honey. A million miles of running, smoking killer like I'm honey. And I'll be damned if we don't roll phones on break their